Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. We got a lot to talk about. It is March, like we talked about last week. Conference tournaments are underway. We got teams, dark horses, everything to cover, plus a crap ton of NFL news, Eagles stuff, a lot of big moves and shakers. We got to talk about it all, but the pod starts right now. Davis, welcome to the podcast. We have a lot to discuss. It's March. I know you and I are fired up on a lot of basketball right now. It's hard not to be. There's a lot on. Everybody knows what time of year it is. St. Paddy's Day on Monday, Davis. It's a big week. It's a big, big weekend in sports.
It is. It is. And guess what? I mean, with basketball coming around, everyone forgot what sport dominates this country, and it's football. Football news has been going crazy the last few days with the offseason officially starting. So we'll get into that too. But Ethan, take us away. It is March.
I love it, Davis. You're so right. It is March. So let's get into it. This is March. This is the same Patriots as last time. There's no need to mix it up. It's the same guys. The same guys are in it. Houston's looking good. Duke's looking good. Auburn had a tough loss to Bama on Saturday, but they're still a top-tier contender in this tournament. Don't forget that. St. John's still the biggest favorite, all that stuff. Let's move into who's actually in, Davis.
Yeah, so
we have, just discuss this.
Yeah, we have 11 teams in right now. I bet you can't name all these teams, Ethan. I bet a lot of people can't name all these teams. Go ahead and
try. Gonzaga, mm-hmm. Robert Morris, obviously. St. Francis, Pennsylvania.
Huge win last night for them to get in over Central Connecticut. Big upset, actually. So we got a PA's finest in St. Francis in the tourney.
Love it. UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, the Seahawks. We're getting the Seahawks in March Madness.
I'm gonna this red team. I know the logo. I don't know them off the top of my head.
It's not really their logo. This was just the only picture that had a through image I could put on here. But this is Nebraska Omaha getting in.
Oh, there we go. Shout out Big Cat. I think everybody was watching because of that. Troy. Then we have Wofford, Drake, McNeese, High Point, and Lipscomb.
Yeah, good for you. I thought that Lipscomb one was going to trick you. I think that's going to trick a lot of people, but good for you. We got 11 down. We're going to have 12 down by the time this pod's over.
Shout out to High Point. They're like a very recent university. Everybody that I know who has been there, I have friends that have gone there. They all talk about it being like a beautiful country club. Yes. How about them getting their sports under control? Absolutely. They're in a division tournament soon? Hell yeah. Division 1 tournament.
So. Yep, and we'll get another one by the end of this pod with American going up against Navy right now.
We
can light in American right now. They're up by 16 points with 12 minutes left in the second half. That's the American Conference.
So the American Championship?
Yep, this is the championship. So
what happened to Memphis?
They're in the AAC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. That is the American. Patriot League. This is the Patriot League.
Okay. All right. You had me confused for a second.
There's all these like mid-major.
It's that time of year. Crazy.
And now I can't do this, and I doubt anybody could. Imagine trying to name all 11 of these conferences where these teams are. I can't do that.
I can't do that. I know a couple, but we're not going to get that far. Let's get into the conferences that we know, though, Davis. Let's get into the power conferences because. I mean, you know, maybe those 11 teams could go on a run. Drake always seems to be contenders at 11 or 8 seeds. But these are the teams that are most likely going to have the best chance, Davis. The Big Ten tournament is underway. This one's not really, you know, one to really look out for. There's a couple of threats in here. But, you know, the Big Ten has been really disappointing the last 15 years and the national tournament. Yeah. So, you know, they got a couple teams in here. Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan. They're always good. Oregon, led by their coach, Dana Altman, who is like a tournament assassin. Mm-hmm. Like, his teams are just so weird in the regular season, and then they show up in the tournament, and they're like one of the best every single time. Yeah. And they'll win a tournament game, and then everybody on Twitter will be like, Dana Altman's tournament record is this. Why didn't you bet on him? So we're telling you now, bet on Dana Altman and the Ducks, please.
Yeah, I actually have them to win the Big Ten, and I think that's a great place to – start here. I know we only have two conferences up here, but we have all the power conferences coming up next. Yes. Yeah, this Big Ten tournament should be really interesting.
Who do you got winning the Big Ten?
Say it again.
Who do you got winning with your answer that you were going to go on?
My only bet was Oregon, actually, funny enough. Just because I think they actually are slated in a pretty good spot. You have to play Michigan State in the second, like, technically the third round or day three, but it's going to be their second round. They play Indiana tomorrow. Actually, it's one of those noon tip-offs. Little weird for Oregon, especially since it's a noon tip-off Eastern time, which is an 11 a.m. tip-off in Indianapolis. We'll see how that goes, but that's about a pick 'em right now. But I got Oregon at a really big number. I don't remember exactly what the number was, but maybe it was like 30 or 40 or even maybe 50. Yeah, 30. I think it was 32. 30-1 to win this tournament. And I just think the Big Ten's always up for grabs. You always see random teams making the conference championship. Look at Penn State 2023. People forget we lost the conference title game by 3 points. It was a very close game, and Penn State ended up making the tournament, made the second round. We all know this stuff. Big Ten-wise, though, I think the scariest team to look at is Maryland. They have been extremely hot ever since the new year, and they've got two bigs in Julian Reese and Derek Queen that I am all about. I think it's a scary team for the tournament, but for March Madness itself, especially if Maryland goes on a run here, they could be slated at a four spot, and I would be all over them making a Sweet 16 appearance.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Maryland has been, I think, the clear dark horse of this Big Ten tournament, but there's a couple teams in the matchups tomorrow that I would be scared of. Wisconsin, you already mentioned Oregon. We already talked about that. Illinois is always good. Purdue does not have Zach Edey anymore, but they're still a lethal shooting team. We'll see. I'm really curious to see who wins that conference, Davis, because like Michigan State's the number one seed, but none of these are the favorites. They are, I feel like, on all equal fighting grounds. We'll see. The SEC, though, this is the exciting one. These top four seeds are all dangerous in the tournament, in the national tournament, I should say. Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Bama. But who is the most to lose? Is it Auburn?
Out of the four, I would probably say Auburn. I think Florida's a close second. But if you're talking dark horse-wise, why not get the team that's going to have almost home field advantage with how they travel? They travel very well to Nashville, even though it's in a different state. Give me Kentucky. They're slated there down there at the bottom of the bracket. I don't believe that Oklahoma-Georgia game has started just yet, but they'll get to play one of those two teams tomorrow. I would think Oklahoma will beat Georgia. I know Oklahoma's a pick 'em, but whatever. They win that game. They're going to play Alabama, who is a very similar play style. That over-under is going to be probably 185. It's just going to be up and down the court. And you know I like Mark Pope. He was with BYU last year.
This
Kentucky team has shown how hot they can actually get. They've beaten a lot of these top teams in the SEC at least once this year. And I grabbed them at 30-1, as well as Texas A&M. They're slated in day three if they can. Texas beat Vanderbilt today, so it's going to be a Texas A&M matchup tomorrow, which will be very interesting. But if Texas A&M can get through that with, I don't know if you know anything about Texas A&M basketball, but they have one of the best players on their team in the country on their team, in Wade Taylor. He actually played Penn State 2 years ago. He is my comparison would be almost like Ja Morant. As in, he just gets to the line, or maybe even Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, he's just so physical and gets to the line and is a great shooter. When he's hot, he is the best player in the country. And I think that if they get through Texas tomorrow, they can definitely beat Tennessee and possibly match up with Auburn in the semis.
I like that, Davis. I mean, this SEC tournament is, survival of the fittest at its peak. And we'll see what happens, but I'm really hoping that those top four seeds are not getting too damaged with early losses, because we need, somewhat of strength at the top of this national tournament coming in, where Auburn's probably still slated at a one seed. If they lose, that probably puts Bama or Florida in there, but if they lose too, we could be facing some chaos at the top two seed ranges.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, right now, I think even if Auburn loses their first game, they'll still get a one seed.
You think so? Okay.
I think so. Okay. And I think the team to watch out for if they lose early is Florida. They're actually slated as a one seed right now. And I think if they lost, they'd slip to a two. And Alabama's at a two right now. And if they lost, they'd probably slip to a three. But the SEC has been so good all year, and really we have. Know all about SEC bias, and I think that's going to transfer over to basketball terms this coming year.
It's so funny that they're just like they're losing their reign on football, and they just were like, let's just dominate basketball.
Yep, they're going to get 13 teams in March Madness this year, which is
I was going to say it's over under 10 and a half, and 13 is crazy.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah, 13. Yep,
almost
yep.
And, this entire racket we're looking at, honestly.
And what, there are only 15, 16 teams in the SEC tournament. Like, this is going to be absolutely insane to watch in March Madness, but we'll talk about it down the road once we see the bracket.
Yeah, what we're telling you, though, is the best hoops are in the SEC right now, so beware of that.
But I wouldn't be shocked if we see somewhat of a letdown in March Madness by some of these mediocre teams that are going to get in, like Ole Miss. I mean,
some of these teams with high expectations are going to crap the bed, too. Like, everybody, no one's exempting college basketball. That's the best part.
Yes.
Let's get to the Big 12 Conference, Davis. Before we get too deep into this, what do you think of the court? It looks like the Neff court, but like on hallucinogens.
So funny because yesterday, it'll be 2 days ago by the time this podcast comes out. But on Tuesday, noon rolls around, 12:30 rolls around. I'm like, all right, here we go. We're getting Power Four conference tournaments starting out. Power Five, if you want to throw the Big East in there. But I turn on the game and I was at work, legitimately thought my phone was like glitching out, and I was like, what is happening right now? Like, this is not good. You know, restarted my YouTube TV application or whatever, turned it back on. And really, I was like,
there has to be something wrong with my device. Well,
this is actually what the court's going to look like. Like, this is a problem. it's going to deter me from watching some of these games. Like, I'm not joking. There's so many games.
I heard someone mention it, and it's like, you're like, oh, it can't be that bad. And then you turn it on, and then your first 5 seconds, you're like, this isn't that bad. And then you watch a couple of possessions, and you're like, oh, wait.
Yeah,
this is bad. And then I was watching Iowa State play Cincy today, and mm-hmm. Cincy was wearing black uniforms and looked really bad. You can't
just stick. And you probably know this.
Color. There's nothing wrong with a blonde wood color, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I agree. You probably know this, but some people might not. The reason it's like that is because it's XII for 12, Big 12. But they just—it's just littered all over the court. It looks horrendous. Yeah.
They're trying to do too much. It's okay. But anyway, this is the best conference probably. The SEC is probably, you know, the most powerful conference with the teams at the top. But this is the best basketball. These are the best coached teams usually. These are the teams that you should really be looking at in the national tournament, because the SEC, you know, they've eaten each other alive, and I think they're getting really used to that. This Big 12 team. A couple of these teams at the top should be looking to eating a national championship in a couple of weeks. They like Arizona could do it. Like, they have the horses if they get the correct positioning, I should say, coming out of this conference tournament. All that stuff matters. But a couple of teams at the top, Houston, Texas Tech, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough outs, Davis. But some of these second round matchups, like the fact that Iowa State is a 5 seed should be dangerous to BYU. They should be scared. Baylor being a 7 seed is kind of wild. I thought they were a way better team to start the year. So they end the seventh overall team in their conference, kind of disappointing. But them in Kansas, I could see winning a couple of games here. So what do you think for the Big 12? Who wins?
I'm going to give you the team I think is going to win and then the team that I bet on. This is two very, very different.
Well, I know that you bet on Kansas, so that was the team you bet on, right?
Yes. Yeah, we can start there. It's crazy to say this, Ethan. The dark horse, and it's a fact. It's not an opinion. The dark horse in this conference is Kansas, and it's scary to say that they're a dark horse this year. I'll still take Bill Self and possibly one of the best college basketball players in the nation this year, and Hunter Dickinson.
I thought you were going to save all time, and I was going to end
that one-two punch can win conference tournaments. I don't think just that 1-2 punch wins you national championships, but when you're seeing Kansas slated in a 6 spot, now going up against the 14th seeded UCF tonight. They're favored by like almost 11 points, I believe.
UCF beating the crap out of Utah. Holy crap.
Utah is so bad. Kansas is going to win tonight. They're going to go on to play Arizona tomorrow. And that, I will say right now, I think could be the matchup of this conference tournament. I don't think it's going to get much better than that. I like Texas Tech, how they play. So maybe that even the semis will look great, whether it's Texas Tech, Arizona, or against Arizona or Kansas. But who I think is going to win, I think it's Houston, because I think Houston is a top three team in the country. And as of right now, I'll give you a sneak peek. If anybody, you know, some of these brackets are, you know, the tournament bracket challenges are coming out right now. We're starting to get sent around friend groups and everything. I'll tell you right now, my winner right now would be Houston for the national title.
So I think Houston.
I think that they are going to run through at least their top half of the portion of this bracket here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Houston, they are so talented. And, like, this Big 12 conference, if I'm Houston, this should scare the crap out of me. There's a lot of trouble they could be facing right now. But if you subscribe to the theory that you should get losses out of the way, maybe they should. Maybe they should, you know, take a loss in this next
round. Which I agree with that. I actually don't mind that, like, theory. I don't mind that whatsoever.
Yes, because, I mean, you know, you want to win your conference, but if I'm Kelvin Sampson, I'm tired of that. Let's win a national championship. Let's get the granddaddy of them all. It makes sense.
Well, but that's the weakest link of this team is, unfortunately, what's sitting there in the chair, you know, just by the scores table is Kelvin Sampson. He's yet to make a run that really impresses anybody, even though Houston's been a top
team. He's had the horses for years.
I agree. Like, we've seen Gonzaga, speaking of a team who's already made March Madness now, Gonzaga, like, they're a mid-major team with Mark Few that has been able to overcome those odds of being a mid-major. Houston was doing that, and now they get slated into the Big 12, and they have no reasons basically to say they can't do it anymore. So
there's no, you know, prestige to their name.
They have no excuses.
Exactly. No, I agree. And we'll see what happens, because Houston's got a lot on their shoulders. And if I had to actually pick a national champion right now, with a gun in my head, it might be Houston. So I like that a lot, Davis. Let's monitor how the Cougs do down the stretch. Let's get to the ACC, though. Probably the weakest of these four power conferences.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But it's scary.
It sucks, because the ACC hoops used to be a thing of legend.
I know. But we said the same thing last year. We said the same thing last year, and an ACC school still made the Final Four. And
for sure. It's just weird looking at this bracket and seeing Cal, SMU, and Stanford on here.
It's ugly.
It is ugly. All right. So Duke is the best team in the nation right now. They're number one after Auburn's loss. Some were saying that they already were the number one team in the nation. You and I last weekend, as well as KenPom, I think, too, which is probably more notable. But not a lot of juice in this conference. Can a Louisville, can a Clemson, can a Wake Forest, can a UNC come out and take Duke for a run on their money? Because, you know, I'm seeing Duke, you know, a potential matchup with, I think they play Virginia. Did Virginia win today?
Georgia Tech won.
Georgia Tech. So I don't think Georgia Tech gives them problems. I don't think Wake Forest gives them problems. Can someone give them a chance in the final?
I would say I think the only team who possibly can is Clemson. Clemson's the only team ratings wise who even like looks like they should be in the same territory as Duke right now. Duke is so solidified as the number one team in the country right now. I do not trust this Louisville team whatsoever. They beat up on this weak conference. It's the only reason they got the 2 seed, in my opinion. Clemson actually played a non-conference schedule and actually did pretty well. They beat Penn State earlier this year. Yeah. That means anything.
Enough to say
that. But I would say Clemson. And I have 000 pennies, dollars, nickels, cents on this conference, because Duke is sitting there at -360-ish to win this conference. I don't even want to get close to touching that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Duke is probably going to run away with this. The only thing I have to say is, if you have the time, watch Cooper Flagg. He's that good. He's fun to watch. We watched him kick the crap out of UNC like it wasn't even his job. I think both you and I bet 9.5, and I didn't think about it once. We were arguing about NBA stuff. We were like, oh, yeah, he'll get this. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's good. Yeah. All right, anything else to say on conference tournament week before we move on to some NFL stuff?
I don't think so. Basketball's here, though. Have your phones ready at 11:30 a.m. every day from now on.
Yes, sir. I almost forgot today. It is glorious to be able to turn this on during the middle of the day. Love it.
I was hearing some hot takes on the podcast I listen to every day. Some people actually were saying that this Thursday to Sunday is better than next week's Thursday to Sunday. How do you feel about that?
I get what people are saying. I see, like, the direction they're trying to go with that kind of take, but I disagree, just because I know that, like, you know, that first weekend of national tournament, March Madness, it's like, it's here, and then it's kind of gone quickly, and then it's on to the next thing very quickly. But if you drink in those 2 days, there's nothing better. Yeah. Nothing better. Games start back to back to back to back to back to back to back all day versus the conference tournaments. They have a couple games on at the same time that, I don't know. Yeah, but, like, you know, there's nothing like the anticipation leading up to Selection Sunday. So I get that. I get it.
No, I think I agree with you. I think, yeah, I would say March Madness, just specifically, too, because it's like I could throw on my phone at, like, 2 o'clock tomorrow and I could be like, oh my God, wait, I totally forgot Louisville and Cal are playing right now. Like, yeah, it's not like I'm like rushing to turn that on. Exactly. I know,
like, every 5-12 game that nobody thought was a loser is happening.
Yeah, but then there's going to be us on the flip sides being like, oh my God, Alabama's playing McNeese State right now. Like, why am I not watching that? You know what I mean? Yes. Like,
exactly.
We know all the matchups. We know the times. It's like
it's closer than people think. It's closer than people think. If you're not a real ball knower, you're not aware. But, you know, you can't be out of March Madness, in my opinion. I like the argument, though. All right, let's get to the NFL. All right, Davis, a lot happened. I feel like I just tried to make this a simple slide of the biggest things. I feel like I missed some stuff. So, did anything off the top of your head?
A few quarterback changes that I think are very interesting that you obviously have the breakdown down here. You know, I would say the biggest one of them all, and you are more than welcome to disagree with me, is Sam Darnold getting a 9-figure contract to be the new quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks.
By the way, good for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Like, this dude was counted out 2 years ago after the Carolina stint, after the New York Jets stint. He backs up the Niners. Like, nothing really happened. And he plays his ass off in Minnesota. And he's rewarded with, I mean, you can look up the contract numbers, but he's guaranteed $50 million, 55. So that's $55 million he was not going to make 2 years ago. So good for Sam. Yeah. He's got a chance to
start. Let me tell you this, though. I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I know you're not going to be good on it.
I'm a little scared for him, though. He had one of the best offensive lines and weapons, out there in Jay Jettis with Minnesota. Yeah. Now, look, he gets slated up with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I think is going to be a star in this league, to be completely honest with you. I'm a little worried.
Well, but if you didn't watch our episode last week, DK Metcalf got traded, so they have no receiving core.
Correct. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, by the way, fantasy wise, personal, me and you, without a doubt, a keeper for me. Not even a question.
100%. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue on that 100%. Yeah. But, like,
but this career, you know, let me say this real quick and then we can move on to a different quarterback too. This career trajectory, I'm not saying he's gonna perform like Baker Mayfield, but it looks very similar to the way Baker Mayfield's career has been developing.
For sure. And he kind of got the Baker Mayfield contract, I think, too. So, you know,
he did.
Shout out to both of them. But I also did want to mention that the Seahawks have been one of the worst draft and developing the offensive line positions in the last 25 years. They have the, like, cheapest total price of offensive line combined in the NFL, too. So, like, they don't invest money in this. So, poor Sam Darnold. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
I agree.
Yeah. So I have a Colts fan who sent me a recorded message. We'll get to that in a second. The Jets, Justin Fields reunited with his boy from the Buckeyes, Garrett Wilson. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, I just feel like it's very Jets.
Hey, I was just going to say Jets are going to jet. I mean, seriously, yeah. I don't think I have much else to say other than, you know, I hope you guys find your quarterback next year. I hope you guys find Drew Lar.
Work out, for what it's worth. I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
But I don't see 9-8. So I don't see playoffs, and so I see disappointment. You know what I mean? It's disappointing for. We haven't seen a New York team win a championship in any of the four major sports since the Yankees did it in 2009. And I don't.
Oh, no, the Giants won in 2012.
You're right. Giants in 2012.
11,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it happens this year for the Giants or the Jets.
No, I'm not saying that. But, like, you know, the Jets need a little bit of optimism. Let's just say that.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't hate it. You know, I think Fields could impress, and I think it really sucked that he didn't get another look in Pittsburgh last year after he started pretty well. And, like, you know, obviously Russ Wilson has a better deep ball, but I still didn't understand why they took out Justin Fields. But that's just me. Going on to Laremy Tunsil, traded to the Commanders. In accordance with this Eagles move, The Eagles traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to the Texans a day later and also received a guard from the Texans. So the Texans in 24 hours-ish traded their starting guard and their starting tackle, left tackle, away. Kind of puzzling on the Houston side, but as an Eagles fan, very troubling to see Laremy Tunsil in the Commanders uniform now. This dude is not as good as advertised, I will say. Like, he's an amazing player, but he was one of the most flagged players in the NFL last year. I think he wasn't having an amazing year last year, but everybody knows how talented he is. Everybody's seen the bong video and all that stuff on draft day. But this dude is a legit talent, so I mean, Washington is making this the right moves. They're doing things that contenders do. They gave up a lot. I think they gave up a second, third, and fourth. So, you know, they did what they had to do. But what do you think?
Yeah, I do think Laremy Tunsil is – I'm not calling him, like, an all-pro for next year, but I think he's a problem that you need to – you know what I mean? Like, he's absolutely a problem.
You should be looking at Trey Hendrickson kind of problem.
Absolutely. I think this is starting to solidify Washington, and it's –
Agreed.
Starting to put Washington in a scary territory closer to the Eagles than I think a lot of people think, especially with all the defensive changes the Eagles have been making. As you can see in the top right, you don't have to go through all the names. The only thing up there that's changed is Darius Slay instead of TBD. He went to the Steelers this afternoon. And good for him for getting his bag, $10 million. Yep. Good for him.
We all know those guys on the list. All of them. They're champions and they deserve it.
Yep. I think Washington really, and I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl next year, because I do think that Jaden Daniels could have that sophomore year slump that CJ Stroud just had this year. But I think that the NFC is still open enough for Washington to make another run. Look, Washington made an NFC championship game with a rookie quarterback. It's scary to think what could possibly happen next year.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first move that they've made recently that where I was like, okay, all right. I'm taking you seriously. There's nothing two ways about this. So looking at this Eagles offseason recap, kind of, they did sign A.J. Dillon today. I want to mention it happened like 2 hours before we started recording. I don't think it's worth throwing up on here. He didn't play last year. He's a bowling ball in the running back field. He'll be good on the goal line if we don't push it. So he might get like three touchdowns in three attempts the entire year. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think he's a good enough backup option. I just would have liked to have somebody
I thought they liked Shipley a lot, to be honest.
I would have liked to have somebody more in the receiving game a little bit, but I think Shipley could step up and be that guy.
Yeah, but anyone else on that list that you're truly disappointed in? I didn't realize Isaiah Rodgers was a free agent out of all those guys, so that sucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anybody specifically. I just say the quantity of people who are leaving. We have people to back all these guys up, but I'm still waiting for that one, like, not splash, because a lot of guys are off the market, but defensive move that we're going to make this year.
And Becton, it's a little questionable whether or not we're going to get Becton back. So, there's a couple more moves to be made, but yeah, it is what it is. All right. So I want to play a little bit of a voice memo from my buddy Tyson, noted Colts fan, about the Daniel Jones move. I was giving him crap in the group chat about it, and he's usually a very even keel guy, and he was upset.
Oh boy,
he was very upset. So I asked him to record me a little voice memo. It's long, so I don't know if I'm gonna play the whole thing, but we're just gonna see where this goes. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Alrighty, disgruntled Colts fan here. It's just another disappointing offseason and another year of quarterback questions. So much so that I'm not too shocked that Daniel Jones is now a Colt. But I don't even know if I'm excited about it. I don't know what to think. We got the two lowest quarterbacks over the last 2 years in total QBR battling it out for QB1. So there's not a lot.
Don't forget about Joe Flacco.
As far as Daniel Jones, do I think he can be a Colt for multiple years? I don't. There's the upside that maybe he's just another New York quarterback like Sam Darnold, like Geno Smith, just needing another home, got the Kevin O'Connell treatment towards the end of his year. Maybe he's a little bit better.
Rely on that.
But knowing the Colts, we've had 7 or 8 different starting quarterbacks if Daniel Jones starts this year in the last 9 years. So I can't say that I'm too, you know, optimistic that he's going to actually stay around for more than 1 year. It's not a terrible contract, $14 million, a little over what we paid Joe Flacco last year.
Terrible contract.
Banker up in the quarterback category.
I'll pick 14 mil. Let me toss the rock around. I'm serious. Like, why not?
Said Anthony Richardson, I think, is a lost cause.
Without a doubt.
This guy is like Trey Lance, where they keep giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's got a rock.
He went 3 for 17.5 in a game last year.
Ballot, or we see with Joe Milton now. Just because you have a rocket arm doesn't mean you can throw a screen pass or a 15-yard out route without sailing it 10 yards or throwing a pick to who knows where. He hasn't really shown to be a professional, so I don't really have too much trust that he's going to put in the work and he's going to stay healthy. Health is the other factor to it because he has this now chronic back injury towards the end of last year, and all these injuries with back spasms and soreness and not practicing, and all these weird reports coming out. And chronic back injury just tells us that we're never going to be able to use him the way we need to cover up his lack of throwing ability by running him all the time like Cam Newton. So I don't think that he will beat out Daniel Jones for long, or if he does, then by week 5, I anticipate he's going to get hurt or he's going to get benched due to the lack of poor play. So then how we're going to get back into contention is just –
tank.
A mystery. We've been in this purgatory of averageness.
He said a mystery. 9-8,
yeah, I know.
9 and just missing the playoffs and getting the 15.
I'm sorry, Tyson.
Unless you trade up to get a good quarterback or not. But again, Chris Ballard had his shot at 4. Didn't really have the pick of the litter between Levis or AR at that spot. But he's hiding behind this crutch of, I inherited Andrew Luck retiring, which – give him the benefit of the doubt.
That was like 6 years ago.
You can't use that excuse anymore.
That crutch of not having
anything pre-COVID, you can't use that anymore as an excuse for anything.
New football games. And to me, Chris Ballard might as well be added to the terrorist list because of what he's doing to the city of Indianapolis and our great fan base.
I feel bad. Like, seriously. I really do. And I appreciate Tyson for
keep going.
No, I feel bad for
secondary. So now we have a formidable secondary in this project that's supposed to be like Jalen Hurts. It's supposed to be able to be a giant clay mold for him to just turn into this Adonis of a quarterback, Cam Newton 2.0, and all we've gotten is Ryan.
I see the comparison, actually. I'm
going to leave it off there. I just compared him to Ryan Mallett. That's where you...
Yeah, I feel bad for Indianapolis because look, they are a legendary NFL like program or franchise in history. Like, seriously, they are. But when you're talking Colts legends like Johnny Unitas, Reggie Wayne, you're talking Peyton Manning. I'm not throwing Daniel Jones in there. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not throwing any of these quarterbacks in there. And the only one that I think has a chance, the guy still under contract, is Joe Flacco. Yeah. Joe Flacco is the only guy who actually had a chance to win games for them last year. And I think that it's a lost cause at the quarterback position when you have not only two quarterbacks fighting for the battle, you have the possibility of having three quarterbacks fighting for a QB battle. I'm a fan of QB battles, but not when you're talking 39-year-old Joe Flacco, washed 26-year-old Daniel Jones, and a guy who can't even throw the ball for more than, like Tyson said, he can't throw a screen.
And, I mean, he does go on to say, he makes a couple good points. I'm just reading through his response here. And he makes the point, Jonathan Taylor's the running back, kind of like Saquon. That's kind of good. They have a way better receiving core than, you know, the Giants ever had with Darius Slayton, which he made sure to point out a couple times.
Michael Pittman.
Yeah, he's really good. Who's the other guy? Number one. You know what I'm talking about. Number one, he's good. He's really good. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
But they did lose some offensive linemen, Will Freeze and Ryan Kelly.
Will Freeze left. Penn State.
Yeah. He's very upset about the offensive lineman play. It might be bad. QBRs, all this stuff. But I really feel bad for the Colts. There is upside, I will say. I think Daniel Jones has a much better chance to succeed in Indianapolis than he ever did in New York. And I think that's something to feel not terrible about. But at the same time, if your quarterbacks are Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones in this league, you got to feel bad, especially when you're in that division with C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence and the Titans are about to get a new quarterback, whether it's Cam Ward or Aaron Jones – or not Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers – the Colts are in a bad spot. I feel bad, but it was really, really funny to see that Daniel Jones went to the Colts.
Yeah.
It was.
And it's great. it's great to get a perspective from a Colts fan. Like, I think I would love to start doing that more. Get, you know, like we've gotten Harrison on here before, pre-NBA
He's a player guy. We got to get more teams.
Yeah. Well, as stuff comes pouring in, you know, if you're a fan of any of these teams and you want us to get your first team.
If the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers, we're going to have to call
our friend up north. I know exactly who I'm calling.
We might have to call our friend up north.
I'm going to send them the link to this right now and say, you're coming on the podcast. We should have brought him on even because they signed Darius Slay. Now it moves what's-his-face out of the CB1. Who's the Penn Stater who's so
Joey
bad?
Joey Porter.
Joey Porter. He's going to be now CB2.
Slay's there to help Joey Porter develop. It's all about the succession plan, man.
At Mike Tom, they're going to go 9-8 again. Somehow.
Oh,
yeah. Somehow.
Oh, yeah. The Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, I could see it. I'm not going to lie, I could see it.
Well, ask Bubba.
If you have Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and George Pickens on that offense, with TJ Watt on that defense,
but it was Micah Fitzpatrick, Garrett Wilson, and Davante Adams. How many games did they win?
That defense is bad.
Four.
Davante Adams.
Four games.
DK Metcalf and George Pickens with TJ Watt. TJ Watt on that defense. Diva, that's the difference.
Diva. Best defensive player in the league.
Also had a kid today, so shout out to TJ Watt.
Really? Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, he did.
He's watching.
Yeah, you know he's watching. Shout out to TJ Watt. All right, Davis, this is a huge show. Also, shout out Tyson for sending the voice memo. He actually sent like 8.5 minutes total, and I didn't want to, you know, let him go on too long. He went off too much in the group chat yesterday. That was it. But we appreciate everyone for watching. Anything else?
I think that's it. Happy March, guys.
Yeah. Get too many people coming in.
You got dinner coming up or what?
No. All right. All right, everybody. We appreciate it. Like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. Botch Boys out.